Okay, let's start the podcast. We've been talking before you guys get to hear this now. And now we always have good talks. It's funny because we have the podcast talk is just our normal conversation.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it comes through. I think people get that. But it's like we have the same conversation that we would have on the podcast just when the mics are off and we're not in front of the camera. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Makes me enjoy my life. You know?
Yeah, life's good.
Good talk. Imagine life's just good. Kitchen table, nothing to talk about.
You know? Like if someone was like that?
Like families or but people are like that. There's nothing to say. Nothing to...
It's kind of... Is that a segue for...
I didn't even intend it to be, but it is because this is what happens.
Yeah.
It's just like they don't have anything to say. It's like you get home. How's school? Good. Okay. So now what do we talk about?
I know. It's interesting on a whole lot of levels, but I do find like my best conversations are with people like yourself that, you know, share a book like, oh, I got this idea. You know, you're always learning from people, right? And some people aren't as curious and some people are just quiet, but nonetheless.
Being able to think is a huge thing. Funny enough, we're going to be talking about that today, which was an accidental segue. But before we do that, again, had some new members join, which is good. I want to keep talking about it because we now have some things in the works in the background that you guys don't get to see yet because of the members online. I had a really nice consult yesterday. Just like same kind of what we're talking about here, just like spitballing ideas, things that could be good for whether it's in-person events or like coaching training things and this kind of stuff that are all, you know, coming about. And then I have two more tomorrow with people that are members are finding us through the podcast that are, you know, helping get real actual information out. And, you know, it was so fun talking yesterday to the one guy because we were talking about some ideas for like an in-person event or something potentially. And I kind of gave him my idea about like, yeah, it'd be cool to just get like a proof of concept first. Like, would people be interested to come and see us talk or do a coaching thing or do a training thing in person when it's not in our area geographically? And he was kind of thinking like bigger and better because he's identified as a dad, you know, talking to other parents with kids that are in youth hockey, and he's got a few boys and one's getting a little bit older, and just saying how there's so much, to use an annoying word, misinformation just about everything. And it's good to have a perspective like from his point of view saying about us is like, this is why the podcast is so valuable, because you get real information about things and it makes you think, it makes you ask the question, it makes you wonder if what you're doing is right or wrong, or if is there a better way or how to optimize things. And that's the whole game of becoming an elite anything but hockey player in this case. And it's so awesome if like people can take advantage of either talking to us or just getting the information for free. Because I think that's what the important thing is just making people better, as you say, for your life goal, just making people better. And it's just nice to actually connect with the people that are being affected. Because it's funny, I look in the background and I see the views of like people that listen to the whole episode, and these are invisible people. Like, I don't know these people. No, I don't know who they are. I don't know how it's affecting them. But like week in, week out, there it is, the big spike every week. It's like, so there's thousands and thousands of people I'm looking and I'm just like, I have no idea who these people are. And they're coming back every week, you know? So I'm looking at it.
Until you walk into a rink and you have four eyeballs staring at you. Like, I know this guy. Happens all the time.
Yeah, seriously. Right? And especially for you, because you're traveling more than I am throughout Ontario at least. Yeah. And I mean, to Michigan a bit. And it's like you start to know these people, you start to talk to them, and they get so much more out of, or you could potentially get so much more as someone who just listens if you actually interact with us, right?
Yeah.
Which is why that we have the membership thing there, because it's relationships. It's like you said at the Flint game, you met with.
I was just going to say that. It was great. Like one of our customers in the summertime through the podcast then came to a camp, very, very good little hockey player. And his mom, or whatever, texted or emailed and said that we're going to go to the game in Flint. And I'm like, oh, exciting. And you know, I remembered, but then I forgot. So I guess I didn't remember. That's not remembering, right?
Yeah, no,
I remember. I remembered, but then I forgot.
Yeah, right.
And then after the game, his mom and sister came up. And I'm like, oh, man, they were in the PowerTech jersey. And then then he peeled it off after and he had a Guelph t-shirt on. And he was just excited to see Charlie. just excited. So they waited after the game and said hi to him, and it meant the world to them. And it's such a small world, right? And that's and then a great thing is, you know, he really looked. Charlie gave him one of his broken sticks this summer and took a couple pictures with him. And the kid loves Charlie, but it's all like this is what I like about the podcast is like if and I like this about life is if you're good people and you do things the right way, then good people come around you. And then, you know, I think a lot of times people forget, like even myself, like I am nothing. I'm not trying to say anything, but like going to a rink, you know, sometimes I forget. I'm walking around, I see eyeballs staring at me, and it's like, oh, you're that guy. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I think nothing of it. Like, but it's important. Like, they make a connection, but it's important to be good to them, right? Even though I might not watch, just want to watch my son play, you know, but it's, or whatever it is I'm doing. And, but it's like, thank you very much. So the small gesture of, you know, like when any players, when someone sticks around and wants to just say hi to you and meet you, it's like, it means a lot to them. Like it means a lot that you make them feel important. Right. So it's always nice to see those connections. And, you know, I gave the kid a big hug and, you know, I think the world of him and his family. Right. And it goes a long way. Right. Because now it's not like, it's just not an interaction where we trained him in hockey or they listen to the podcast. I know that person. It's like, oh, it's nice to have a connection where it's like, these people listen to the podcast. They're going to come to camps and we just like it. Like we like each other. They're nice people and we want to see good things. I want to see this kid succeed in hockey and I know he will. And that's what it's about. That's what I love about this thing.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It connects a lot of dots.
Yeah.
Just people?
People. Both.
Yeah.
Either. I love that too. Cause that's what I get all the time. Cause people, they recognize the face. I get like, you're the power tech guy. That's the one I get all the time. Are you the power tech guy? That's what I get, which is funny. I was at a game on Friday night, watching a couple of players and I had a couple like young kids. There was a little pack of them. It was like, hey, you're the power tech guy. Like whatever. So anyways, yeah, like that's why to me, it's the best part of what we're doing. And then on top of that, the members are the people that they spread it. And they're the ones that make people know the information that we're trying to spread as good information as this person said that I was talking to. So, so if you guys want to do that, that's on the website. I keep the links, like I say, every episode, keep it in the bio. I keep it on our website. You can go check those out. And if it is within your means to do that, then that is very helpful. And we're very grateful for that.
Hey guys, my name is David. For the last roughly year or so, I've been a member of the PowerTech podcast and I've trusted Eric and Andy to help me as a hockey dad raising my kids and trying to figure out the answers. I don't have all the answers and it's a great source of information and it's an area where I feel comfortable leaning on to help me make better decisions. With that said, one thing I do know about is supplements. I find it's hard to navigate the whole supplement world and make sure that you're using products that work, that are effective, and again, are science research based. Blue Star Products, incredible brand. Their products are based on research, science, the products work, trademark patent ingredients, and you can find all of the research just by scanning QR codes that are right on the back of the product. Thank you to Eric and Andy for their podcast. I think it's amazing and definitely give Blue Star Products a try.
So today, what sparked the inspiration for me on this one?
So you're talking to a team.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk today about like something like kids being able to talk to adults, being able to speak to adults.
Meaning coaches, older players.
Coaches, older players, teachers, just
yeah.
People.
Yeah.
And this is going to kind of go outside of the hockey specific a little bit today because it's just like a good thing for kids in general. Yeah. It's not really like a sport specific thing necessarily.
But definitely can be used for hockey.
Definitely can be used for
and
hockey.
We're going to talk in right. Hockey terms mostly.
Right. So what I've noticed is whether it's, you know, kids on the treadmill or those classes that I have, or even some of the AAA kids that I'm training, younger, and then even into the 17, 18, 19, 20 range, I just feel like we are doing a poor job as teachers, as parents, as coaches, as fill in the blank, whatever else, as influencers of the kids, preparing them to like be mature and effective communicators with people that are going to end up being important in life. And just a few examples just to get the ball rolling. I was with the one junior team that we train on the one day, and I'm talking to some of these guys, And I'm more or less saying to them, like, as their trainer, like, I don't say it like this, but basically my point is to them, I know a lot more than you guys do about off-ice things. So use me, extract like all the juice out of me that you can. And I find myself like constantly reiterating that to them, but very seldom or very few kids actually take advantage of that. They actually come and speak to me. And this was kind of the start of my feeling of like, why is that interaction so difficult? Like, why is it so hard for younger kids to talk to an older person? And for them, like, I'm, for all they know, I'm basically their age, right? So I'm very close, but even though I'm still an adult, I'm still older than them, whatever. Maybe they're not as comfortable with me, but that kind of got the gears going for me about why is that interaction so hard? Now, if I play that in another example with some of the classes I teach with the younger kids, kids that are younger than that, because those guys are like 16 to 20, the younger kids, it's like you ask them a question and their answer is like, I don't know, or they don't want to raise their hand to try. They don't want to guess. Or how many times, you know, you run into another adult somewhere, they have their kid and their kid just like doesn't say hello or is doesn't interact, doesn't make the interaction. And so I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that as an issue and then maybe like some solutions to that, why it can be helpful, why it can be beneficial, why it's a good thing to try to teach your kids to do. All of that centered around the kid or young player to adult, whether that's parent, coach, whoever, interaction. You know, prepare them for that. Or even another example would be like, you know, you're preparing the kids for their interviews, right? The OHL interviews. And you talk to some of these kids and they just can't speak. Like they just don't have any skills developed, right?
I have two theories, maybe three, maybe more, you know. But I don't say this loosely. When COVID happened and people were stuck in their houses, et cetera, I don't know if it was that or it was just maybe a generational thing where it was like a flip in how kids were, because it was very, very clear to me. I wouldn't say clear to me, but it was very puzzling to me how all of a sudden there was a one age group, like I could see the difference. I don't want to say the age because I don't want to center out kids, but there was a certain age where the kids were on the ice talking, that you'd be in here, there'd be energy. It was always talking. And then it was like the following year, it was like almost dead silence. And the communication, it was like, it's always a rough hour. And you're always almost begging them to talk and have energy. You're saying the same things all the time. Guys, you understand the drill, you need to say yes. Yes is an answer. Like sitting there trolling for flies is not an answer. Like you need to communicate. So, and it's constantly saying that. And I find it's very, from that group down, it's been prevalent. Like it's more that than energy. And the second thing I would say, and the first one about the COVID situation, I don't know if that played a role in it or if it was generational, like just a thing. And the second thing I would say that is very, I would say that I'm probably right, but these are just my thoughts, is I think people are on their phones so much and distracted so much that, you know, for someone to communicate, and I know this, kids will communicate, well, actually, I thought it was through texting and stuff, but it's, you know, even my kid, my wife was like, hey, you need to get back to me. He goes, I'm always, like, if I talk, it's usually on Snapchat, so I don't see it all the time. I'm like, he's an idiot. There's no way, but it's actually a thing. So you almost have to figure out what their method of social media is to communicate without doing the cross the table speaking. So I'm sure that's a piece to it. But it's just so refreshing when you can sit down and a kid comes in and says, hey, how you doing, coach? And have a 2-minute conversation.
Yeah. And maybe there will come a time when like the verbal communication with the like physical cues is no longer relevant. Like I'm flashing to a Elon Musk talk I heard where he was saying like, oh yeah, eventually we'll be able to like speak without words. Like we'll just be able to trade thoughts. And it's like,
you don't want to know what's going on here.
Yeah. It's like, hey, then this won't apply when that happens. Yeah, but my question, or the first thing that I want people to understand, because you know, when I blame us, whether that's parents, coaches, the people that are in charge of the kids, for doing this partially, right? Because like you're saying, it could be just the technological thing is making, is just making how we interact much different. That could be a part of it. But we are doing a poor job. That is the bottom line, because I've noticed that it doesn't take much to pull that out.
You're not kids. Old either. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're
right. You know, like it doesn't take a lot of encouragement or a lot of coaching or a lot of teaching to get kids to start doing that, right? When they're young. When they're older and it's more ingrained habit, then it's a lot more difficult, like anything, to teach anyone anything. But when they're young, like it really doesn't take a whole lot. And I notice that with the classes, they come in here, there's a lot of shyness, a lot of quietness. But you start talking, you ask them a few questions, you make them answer, you make them think about things, and they start to have it where there's a little bit of life to them and they're able to speak now in spite of that gap between an age between me and them or them and their teachers or whatever. But first, I'll throw this to you just more of a, as a general statement before I go into like these little ways that I broke it down, I guess, is kind of like why being able to speak to adults matters. Like, why do you think that that's an important skill or an important thing to be able to do as a kid, as a young player, as an athlete, and specifically if you want to go that way? And for me, mine's like very simple. It's like the people that are older than you or people that are in a higher position than you or whatever, those are the people that are going to give you opportunities in life at some point. And it's not the only reason, but one of the major reasons, if I put it into the hockey domain specifically, is that if you cannot effectively communicate with those people, you're going to cost yourself some opportunities from that alone, you know? And the first example that I give is that interviews. Like if you have two great players, they're both the exact same, everything's the exact same, and then you go and speak to them and the one kid can't put a sentence together and the other kid can, then guess who gets the opportunity? And I think that's the most important thing from a hockey perspective for me is like, or even just getting a job, like getting a talking to people, like the opportunities are going to come because you can make a connection, because you can network and get people to know you and feel comfortable with who you are as a person. So for me, that's the answer. I don't know if what your thoughts are on that particular question.
What I think is why it's important is because, like, I'm going to back it up a little bit and just say, like, I'm going to use this in the hockey world, but you can take this probably in anything. Right. A quiet team is a very frustrating team, at least for me. And I think that, like, I've heard from a lot of other coaches like that, it's a lot more difficult because, you know, a yes, no response would be a lot better than nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if it's just nothing, it's like, you know, do you guys get it? And it's quiet. They can, so the next thing, if it's quiet, that means that there's the energy isn't the same. So just that alone, it's shaking a dead fish, right? It's like, it's quiet. There's no energy. So that's number one, there's zero energy if there's not verbal communication, right? So why is it important to be able to speak to an adult? Well, just like you said, is in a job, we'll keep it hockey though, is your coach will be an adult. If he's not an adult, he's very close to being an adult. So if you want to have any type of reasonable communication, you have to be able to at least put a sentence together or have some cues that let them know that you're alive, right?
Yeah, seriously.
So like, yeah. So, and the bottom line with that is, and I, you know, I've said this to my sons, my kids, I've said it to all the kids that I train. It's like, there's so many skills that you need as a hockey player that are hockey, but there's things that you need outside of being the hockey player that are not, I wouldn't say equally as important, but they can really open doors for you. So you use the thing interview, right? And that was one of my things that I put down for today that I'll talk about after. But if when I would do mock interviews with kids, they were like, okay, I'll do it. Like I it was up to them. If you want to book one, I'll do one. You know, they're getting drafted or scholarship or whatever. They're going to have their interviews. And, you know, just a simple thing like describe yourself as a player. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I work hard. I'm like, okay. So is that, do you think that's a good answer? Like if I'm picking you for a job, is that a good answer? I don't know. Or a one word answer. It's like, it's very, very important that you be able to, you don't have to be write a novel, but you have to be able to put a thought out answer and know who you are and be able to articulate it a little bit. Maybe you don't have to if you're that good, but it certainly helps. So at the end of an interview, they can sit there and say, okay, he's got that. And that might be, if you're going against, if they're choosing to pick someone, that might be the edge that you have on that player if all things are being equal, right? It's being able to, and we've talked about this several times, is being able to be in the room one-on-one or one-on-two with coaches or whatever it is, or in a room and the coach is saying something, and that you give that appearance that you're actually understanding, that you're getting it. And possibly if you don't, you have the confidence. I don't want to use confidence yet, but the wherewithal to ask a question when you don't have it, when you don't understand. It's actually very important because, that's why it's important to be able to communicate with an adult, because these adults can open doors for you or close them based on what they think that you are all about. It's your first chance to make a first impression. And if your first impression is the kid's a dud or this is going to be a pain in the ass, that's not the best way to start, right? And then always keep in mind, kids, is when you are talking to an adult, you can learn a lot. And this is like, of course, this is something that needs to be taught to them, but you can learn a lot from an adult, or you could actually find, like, if it's a situation where it's your coach or your trainer or something like that, they actually might be there to help you. And if you don't express that you want to be helped, they may never be able to do that. So you can get a lot of good out of just having simple conversations. The other thing about having being able to speak to people is you stick out in, like, a sore thumb, hopefully in a good way, if you know how to do this properly, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Does that make sense?
All that's great. So to me, you basically touched on all these things that I was going to say. So I'm going to briefly just say each different thing and then maybe a comment or two or not, but just so people can kind of see like reasons why it's important that was buried in everything you just said. So the first thing, which was like the common thread through all that, was just being an effective communicator. And as a kid, especially when you're dealing with your coach or your teacher or whoever, it's like, if you need help, like, what if you need help? Right? What if you don't know how to do something?
Like you're a hockey player.
Yeah, if I'm a kid, right? Yeah. If I don't get it, right? What if I'm lost? If you don't have the skill of being able to initiate the dialogue with the adult or ask the question, then you're not going to be helped, you know? And if you're in a one-on-one lesson where the person is only focusing on you, which is basically never in life generally, but as a hockey player in particular, it's like, no one's coming to help you unless you ask for help. So there's one, right? Being effective with the communicating. It's like you can't get help if you don't know how to speak, you know? So there's one. Second one is like resolving conflicts. So I just had this one today with our, like, one class I was teaching. And there's this one kid that kind of gets ganged up on a little bit in the class. So they got in shit today and that kid wasn't here or whatever. So we were just like talking about it. And none of the kids can articulate the problem, and then they just start like fighting when we're talking about it. They just start like arguing with each other. And so if they don't have like the words to be able to say what the issue is, because they don't have the vocabulary, because they don't know how to speak properly, then how do you fix a conflict, right? Or if you need support from an adult, or if like something's wrong, right? Like if someone's picking on you or whatever, then that's how you get kids that just like shelter away and hide. Where it's like, if you have the skill to be able to go to an adult and say, hey, this is what's going on, like, what can I do? Then there's another thing, right? Resolving conflicts. Mentorship and learning. So you touched on this buried in your spiel there. It's like being able to learn from someone or have someone as a mentor, that implies the older, younger kind of dynamic a little bit, right? So if you want to have a mentor, if you want to be able to learn off of someone, then that means has to be a relationship of some sort there. I mean, you have to be able to talk to each other, right? So even for just having that mentorship ability or learning off of somebody else, that is all based on communicating. That's mostly how you learn, right? Different forms of communication. Leadership skills as a kid, right? If you can't speak, it starts with your coach, for example, if you're the captain of the team as an example, how are you going to be able to relay stuff to your team, or how are you going to be able to speak in a group of just peers in general, or if you're in your class, right? How are you going to be able to do that if you don't have that skill, being able to talk initially with an adult where you can have some maturity about what you're saying, you know? There's one. we talk, confidence is a tricky word, so I might save that a little bit. I was going to say like confidence building, because I'm thinking about, you know, everyone, nobody likes talking in front of groups of people. But maybe we can get into that a little bit later. And then just in general, it's just life beyond sports, right? Like balancing your school and hockey type stuff and being socially, I don't want to use the word included, but just fitting in socially, understanding social behavior, like what is socially acceptable versus not. Like these are things that all start with being able to communicate and being able to learn, and where you're going to learn is from those people that have been there before, that have the experience. So you have to be able to have those interactions, right? So I'm pretty sure like you hit on all of those things in the example that you were talking about,
probably.
Right? So hopefully just articulating those as like separate bullet points, you guys can kind of feel or better understand what we're kind of touching on are those like as hard skills. I don't have anything to add to that.
Yeah, no, the only thing I'd add to that is I know there'd be some listeners that are going to be social experts and, communication experts and child experts and all this kind of stuff that are going to explain why this doesn't happen or how it should happen and the challenges and stuff. So that's all fine. But I think what we're going to do from here is we'll probably dive into like, to me, when you bundle this all up, to me, the question would be, if I'm a parent, before we go on any further in the podcast would be, yeah, but how do you do that? Like, how do you teach a kid confidence, or how do you get your kid to speak? What if you're shy? All those different barriers. And there's the barriers that'll keep the kids from there, but there's ways that you can get, like, I know how I did it with my kids and it seemed to work out pretty good. And how we do it with our kids that we train, it seems to have a pretty good effect. So I think we'll probably get to that, or
that's literally the next thing. Yeah. So we're gonna
do the number one. That's the next hurdle, right?
Yeah, the next two things we're gonna do is, why is it hard? First of all, we'll touch on some of those things, and then it'll be, how do we help teach this? And that's, I'm gonna call on you for a lot of that. But even for me, like, and to your point, I'm not saying this is the clinical psychology way of it, that everything works, right? Yeah. But as someone who works with teams and with kids a lot, and I've been doing it for a long time, like I see what works. I see what doesn't work. I see what gets kids excluded. I see what gets kids to be good team players. I've been able to see like the development curve of a kid who goes from 10 years old to 20 years old and what has worked and what hasn't. And you've seen that even more than I have and have more examples than I do, you know? So this is just what I've seen that works in the hockey environment, in a team atmosphere. And that's kind of the perspective that I'm coming from. I'm not like a PhD in psychology, obviously, right? So good caveat on that one. So I want to talk about that, kind of the reasons why it can be difficult. So maybe I'll start with you on that. Just general thoughts, and then I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to kind of break down a few things. Like, why do you think it's so hard for kids? Like, what makes it the challenge that it obviously is for most kids?
Yeah, like number one, as kids, when you're looking at someone, you know, I asked this to Charlie when he was, it might have been his rookie year in the OHL, might have been the year before, because he was working out with Zach Cassian and in here with Zach and Dalton Prout, so NHL hockey players. And to me, they're adults. I was 53 or 52 at the time, 53, I think, and they were 30, 31. So Charlie was either 14 or 15. So he'd look up to them like, wow, and a little shy, right? They're heroes, like they're playing in the NHL, like they're, you know. So the other word is they're big, and they're alpha males.
Not intimidating. Yeah.
And the word is intimidating. It can be, but they were like super friendly with them and stuff. And I asked him, I said, Charlie, do you feel like they're like really old? He goes, oh yeah, they're 30, right? He was, and they were only 15 years. Like my age gap between them was much bigger. So that's number one, is like they're intimidated, like, because that's what we feel is still a young kid in their, maybe even their 20s, is to a youth, that's like an old person. So can you imagine, you know, like, that's why you got to flip it sometimes, is when you're talking to a child or a young hockey player, if you talk to them like, and not recognize that you could be a very intimidating presence in front of them, then they might react that way. So and you've probably noticed this a lot of times when I talk to the kids, I said, like, I'm old, guys, right? But I'm here to help you. And you try to knock that barrier down right away, so that they're, and it's not saying that they won't be intimidated, but there is a natural tendency to be a little bit intimidated, or they're looking at, well, what does this guy know? He's old. Like, you know what I mean? So I think that's number one thing is, as an adult, try to remove the intimidation factor and let them know that you're, and it always goes back to the same thing with me when it comes to coaching. It's like, if you can, like today when I had my first group with this junior team, it was the first thing. That's what I said to them. I removed all, I'm the best, you listen to me. I removed that and I said, I'm here to help you. And I gave them all the different scenarios where I can help them. And if you like it, if you want it, I'll be there. If you don't, I'm not offended. So what I tried to do is put myself at their level, and I'm here to do is to help you. And I think, and they reacted very, very well, obviously. Right. And of course there's a couple that were like, yeah, whatever, because I don't care, but that's the way it is. So anyways, I think the number one thing is the intimidation factor. The next thing I would say would be that it's not necessarily taught. And I think that's the biggest thing. And like, you know, as we were talking earlier, I you know, it's like when I had my kids, I knew one thing for sure, that they were going to represent me, right? Anything that they do, and you can't control everything, but everything that they're going to do in their life is going to be somewhat of a reflection of myself and my wife. So if I got this human walking around on earth and he's timid and shy, shits his pants in the middle, you know, because he doesn't know any better. Is that the right example? I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, just the kids of catastrophe.
Trying to keep it together over here. I'm just like, oh, yes, I agree. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree.
But you know what I mean is, like, this kid is just a timid mess.
Yeah.
You know, he's so nervous, he shits himself. He's just walking around as a catastrophe. That's not what I want. So I don't know whose job it was supposed to be to make sure he wasn't that. Besides myself and my wife, I felt like that's a good place to start, is with me and my wife, right? If he was an arrogant, cocky, walking around thinking he owned everything, loudmouth, whatever, I didn't want that either. I want him to have humor, but I don't want him to be a total clown. Him, my kids, I don't want him to be a total clown where he can't function properly. But then I didn't want him to be, you know, walking around so uptight, you know, so tight that you couldn't pull a pin out of his ass with a tow truck, right? Like. I think Bjorn's gonna like that one.
You just can't be serious,
right? You know what I mean? So I you know, you have your kid, and it's like to use a, you know, I've heard people say this, is you've got a piece of clay and you can make anything you want out of it. Are you just gonna go like this, make a ball and throw it on the ground and say, there you go? That's what I find a lot of times the effort goes into, you know, teaching these kind of things to your kids. So it's like, where does a lot of it come from? It starts from home. And then from home is your foundation. And then you can build on that. Like, so then every time there's an experience as a parent, you can teach how to, or to help them to communicate effectively. So like when we were raising our kids, there was not one chance, because it's a confidence builder, right? Like, you might not think it's confidence, but it is. So as soon as the kids could speak, or maybe even before that, it was like, you know, say hi. And if they would look down and like that, it'd be like, put your fingers out of your mouth and say hi to Mr. Eric. And they would do this or hello. So that's a start. Like, that's a good start. And that's a habit. Like, that's communicating a little bit, and then obviously building. And then the next phase would be, hi, Eric, how are you? It's like, okay, good, how are you? Teaching them the basic tools. You know, it's funny. I was reading a book last night, Forrest Griffin. And I'm talking about foundations here, right? And it's so funny, because if you send the kids out to just go play on a hockey team and communicate with 15 guys and have three adult coaches there, if you don't have a good foundation, yeah, it could be like
overwhelming.
So he was talking about in his book last night, this is like totally not communicating, but it's about, in his fighting. So Forrest Griffin was a UFC fighter, awesome, funny guy. And the book is not, this book has nothing to, like, it's actually kind of a funny book, but I get shit out of stuff, right? He was talking about fighting itself. And he was talking about foundations are so important. He goes, and a lot of people want to get into the ring and learn how to do a crescent kick or a spinning backspin. He goes, that's not going to win you a fight. He goes, it's the foundations. And when you're a master at the foundations, then you can start working on the awesome stuff. And like in hockey, it's, you know, the Michigan move is the big thing now. Like, you see so many kids working the Michigan move. It's like, that's fine and all the dangle stuff, but it's like, do you know how to play hockey yet?
Yeah,
like,
you can't pass the puck, man.
Right. The foundations first. Yeah. Foundations first, then you could be, then you could add. So it's the same thing as the communication, right? What are the foundations of communication? It's like, hello, how are you? Fine, how are you? Are you stuck? Let's add a freaking sentence here. Add a question. So that's what I did with my kids, is like taught them how to ask a question. So it's not so
huge,
intimidating.
Man.
Yeah. So that
huge.
Was like the basis of it. And then, you know, when someone, and then the next thing was like, look people in the eye the best you can, shake a hand, you know, like I sound like I'm, I was going to say Walter Cronkite. But I sound like old school guy. Like, would you shake a hand, shake it? Yeah, I know. Where's that come from? But would you shake a hand and look at someone in the eye? Like, you teach those foundations, and that's that. And then I'm on a tangent here. Yeah. And the next thing that I did with my kid, especially Charlie, because I had more time to really spend him and I doing things. I know this sounds like not a nice thing, but it was, I felt it was necessary, and it doesn't, I'm going to use the words, I taught him how to be judgmental. So I know that sounds negative, but I don't mean it like find faults. What it was is like when he was young, I would say, so what did you think of, we met Eric, what'd you think of Eric, Charlie? Oh, he was a really nice guy. I go, oh yeah. Why is that? Oh, 'cause he made me laugh. Oh, okay. That's a thought. So, right? So like where a lot of people would say, you know, hi Eric, see you later, bye, and then you go in the car and you don't talk. So I would always spend 5-10 minutes and you know, I did it not necessarily so he would be a good communicator. I did it for him mostly so he can recognize who's an idiot and who's not. But as I look back on it, we had communication going from a very early age. So it was like, why is Eric a nice guy? Oh, because he made me laugh. Oh, well, what made you laugh about him? Well, it was the way he was standing and the way he was moving around. You know, did you find that weird or normal? Or, you know, like just ask 10 questions and we'd have a 10-minute conversation about nothing. So he got used to speaking, so articulating, I guess. Yeah. So, like, I'm no genius.
Yeah, well,
obviously. So,
Walter Cronkite.
Yeah, I'm no genius. I'm a dad and a coach, and that's what a dad and a coach does. It's not like there's layers to everything. Like, and I would say the other thing is like, if you can teach your kids, because especially when they're younger, they're again, Walter Cronkite here, they're sponges. They really are. And the more that you throw at them, right, the more you see, you get their brain going and stuff. You get a pretty interesting kid.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, so a couple things.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
You jumped the gun. I'm going to backtrack a touch because you went past where I was at, but we'll get back to that in a second. First thing, I want to defend your judgmental word, because people take judgmental as negative, but I think like there's context appropriate. Like, that's a good skill to have, because...
Well, sorry to cut you off, but like there was several times he goes, that guy was kind of weird, Dad.
Right.
I go, why is that, son? Yes. And he would tell me, and I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and it's like, you want them to be able to tell the difference or no, right? 100%. So that's a good skill to have, man, because you can sift through the positives and the negatives to a certain degree, right? There's a way where that the judgmental thing can go too far, where like you start to develop a superiority complex, which obviously you don't want that. But in a certain sense, it's like that is a positive skill. It's like you want to be able to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Look at us. We're like Bible scholars today.
Oh, God. But that's, you want to be able to do that, man. Like, you need to be able to tell the difference. Is this guy an idiot or not?
Yeah.
Right? Is this lady someone I want to be around or no?
Yeah.
You know, like, how are you going to pick a partner? How are you going to pick the team you want to be on? How are you going to pick a coach that's good or not? Like, you need to have that skill. Yeah. What do you got?
Well, I was just going to say, you think that hasn't served him well in the dressing room?
No kidding.
He right from day one, the first year, is like, this guy, Dad.
Yeah.
I could tell. I had that feeling just by looking. But yeah, and then this guy, Dad, absolute beauties. This guy, beauty, but yeah, he's got a comment, you know.
Yeah,
he learned it from 4 years old.
Exactly, and you can start to sift through, like, because now when the temptation shows up, you have some ability to figure out, is that a good choice or no? So from there.
But yeah. By the way, you obviously know my kids are perfect, right?
They're perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that, well, that to that point as well, it's not about this is the way to do it. The thread of it is just the conversation. It's like having, initiating the dialogue, the questions, which we'll get into that in a second.
Because a lot of people would say, oh, there's no way I would have my kid judge someone. And that's just what I did. That's all.
Yeah. And two, like I said, it depends on what we're talking about. Like there's certain ways where it's like, yeah, that's stupid. You don't judge someone for that. But it's like, does this line up with my values or not? That's just a question that needs answering, which is a form of judgment. Like you need to be able to do that, in my opinion, at least. So heading back to the talking about why it's so difficult, like between, so you, again, you touched on like all the things that, that basically I was going to touch on. I'm just going to highlight the bullet points again of why it can be, difficult. So the first one is just obviously developmental differences. Like as an adult, you have more knowledge about everything. It's hard to relate to a kid. And this goes to what I was saying, just about even teaching like nutrition. It's like you take for granted that they know certain things or they understand certain concepts, but they don't, right? Because they're kids. And you can forget what it's like to not know. You know, and I was thinking about this, like I'm having a conversation with someone about nutrition tomorrow, and kind of how to relate that message to kids. And this is what I was thinking when I go and have this conversation is like, What have I done that has made relaying the message about nutrition easy for kids, and or easier at least? And my answer is, you have to bring it down to their level where you're not speaking up here when they're not here yet. You know, and as adults, I think it's really easy for us to do
foundations
that.
Foundations again.
Foundations, right? Exactly that. Whereas like we did that episode on nutrition and I literally started with, what does healthy mean? That was my first thing. It wasn't, hey, here's a plate of how to eat. It's like, that's way too much, man. Way too high level. And that transition period of going from zero knowledge to some knowledge, that's the hardest part to teach, because a lot of people are either too high up where they can't dumb it down for people that aren't there yet, or they're just like zero knowledge about anything, you know? And that intermediate piece, that's where the challenge comes in when it comes to like a kid talking with an adult, right? So that's the first one. Then obviously like from the kid's perspective, there's like the power dynamic of like, this person's in charge of me, you know? So you have, that comes with like a fear of rejection or like being judged by the adult.
Yeah, oh,
of like
for sure.
What I'm saying is stupid
or wrong.
Exactly. Wrong. And you don't want that.
Or inappropriate or for disrespectful.
Sure. For sure. Peer pressure. That's another thing that can be difficult. Or with that is like the social stigma. I'm thinking of like as teenagers, like it's not cool to talk to your parents or like it's not cool to hang out with your parents, that kind of thing. Especially when they start to become teenagers, that can be part of it. Different communication styles, whereas like, you know, I communicate with this type of language or I respond like we say, if you're, you know, dead in the eyes and you have no energy, that communication style doesn't jive well with me. As an adult, I need to know that. I need to know that's my bias so I can work through that with a kid, for example. That's one reason it can be difficult. And then they have just like limited life experience or just like a lack of practice. Like you were pointing out with your examples. It's just like they haven't had to, you know, when they're young. It's like no one has made them talked with an older person. And this kind of goes back to my point I said before, is like how easy it is to pull it out of the kid, you know, just make them like break the ice of like say the first thing, respond the first time, like make that first move and things start to get easier after you do that. But for a lot of kids, they just have never had to practice speaking to someone older. Like, and even now, like to your point about the COVID thing, like even just talking to each other, it's like a lot of them haven't even had to do that. You know, you can do it on the phone or you have been isolated for so long or you've missed 3 years of the socialization of school where it's like you're not around people as much or you weren't. So it's like you have to catch up on that. So those are kind of the things, again, all buried in what you were saying. But I think the point, for me at least, whichever one of these things you find might be the issue, like it could just be even the words you use, like I said before, address the elephant in the room, I think is the best way to put the kid at ease. But elephant in the room.
Yeah, is that why?
But to your point, it's like, you know how you said, yeah, if you're there, you'll say like, hey guys, I know I'm old.
Yeah.
It's like right away.
Yeah.
The kids will all be like, yeah, I was actually thinking that.
Yeah.
And it like puts them at ease. Right?
100%.
So that, it illustrates the point, right?
Yeah. Well, like, that's the, yeah, that's
I'm
it.
Old,
you
guys.
You could take away the questions, the obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, I think that's the main takeaway on whatever the challenge is that you've identified, it's just address the elephant.
Yeah, you're 6 foot eight. You walk in and say, "Yes, guys. Hey, I'm tall."
Yeah, I'm tall. Yeah, the weather's
six,
fine
eight's
up here.
The answer.
Exactly.
6'8"'s the answer.
That's funny. Okay, so I want to kind of get into same thing that you were talking about when you kind of jumped the gun a little bit, but maybe we can go back into that as kind of like how to fix the issue, if fix is the right word, or how to teach it, or how to kind of instill the skill into your players or your kid or whatever. So I kind of wanted to divide it two ways, more as like the parent side, and then maybe more as a coach, because as a coach, it's like being a parent, but you're not exactly a parent. So there's some important differences there. So maybe you can start go on that spiel a little bit again of how kind of you did it as a parent, and then we could talk about coaching a bit.
Yeah, I think just as a parent, I think like what I was saying earlier, if you try, is the earlier the better that you can have your kid communicate, speak, like, and it's just simply teaching the very basic foundations of hello, goodbye, thank you, how are you today, like just general questions. Then I think expanding on that is being able to just spend time with your, like, don't let your kid off with how was your day at school, and they say good, or how was practice.
Let me cut you off.
Yeah.
So this is what I think an important point, like the idea of forcing it, like making them do it. Like, what do you think about that? Because I use that all the time. Well, I don't know if that's right or wrong. To me, it feels like it works and it's effective, but like forcing kids to answer.
Well, I
right?
think it's good, like, because my wife will do that to me sometimes. Why was it good? Like you come home from work, I could have a great day. And how was your day? And I said, oh, it was great, man. Fine. Which very, very often she goes, well, we made it great.
Yeah. I do that with my Christine as well.
Now I have to be in the mood, or I have to dig deep and say, okay, here's an answer, because is good or great just a candid response? Right? Is it because you didn't get hit by a freaking dump truck that you had a good day? Or is it because you did something great or something good happened? So she forces me several times just to communicate, which is great. Here's why it was a good day. This. By the way, I become, side note, I become grateful for some of the things I did that day or that happened, right? Not that we're talking about that, but it just opens it up. So you get used to the other thing, you get used to thinking before you speak. So now all of a sudden, how was your day? I'm not going to give my wife just this candid answer. It was great. It was good. It was not bad. Why? Because she's going to ask, right? And it shows that she actually gives a shit about that. And I have to come up with an answer, or else I don't really care. So when you're talking to your kids, very important, I think, is to get them to explain and force it out of them to make them. There's several layers to that onion, right? Why it's good. Because you have to think, you have to articulate, and you force them to not just say stupid shit.
Yeah, the question asking thing's huge too. Like, my Christine and I do that all the time, where it's like, I know your day was basically the same. So when I ask you, how was your day? It's like, if you just say good, it's like, I know you went to work. I know you, but like, pull some details out for me, man. Like, what happened that was decent? So that we have something to freaking talk about. Like, let me give you a detail about my day of like something interesting. And it's the same thing with the kids. Like, one of my things I do on the treadmill, if I have new kids that don't know me yet, to make them comfortable, I'll always ask them, like, did you have a good day at school? Like, I'll get to that in some way. I'll get to, did you have a good day at school? And they'll be like, I don't know. And I'm just like, well, what do you mean? Were you there or were you not? And then they kind of laugh at that. And then they'll say, yeah, I was there. And I was like, was it good? And like, yeah, it was good. And I go, okay, what'd you learn? And 95% of the time they go, nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
I'm like, you didn't learn one thing. That's what I said. And they'll be like, well, I don't know. I'm like, well, think about it. Like, what happened? What classes did you have? What, like, give me something. And you pull, you know, and just in a way where you're asking questions. And guess what? They always end up coming up with an answer. There's the odd kid where it's like they're super reserved and you have to do a little more work. But like I said before, it doesn't take too much, right? Yeah. So sorry, I got you off.
No, it's good. But like, so like this is where I think the parenting thing is huge. So, you know, you don't have to be a superstar hockey player to do this, but let's just say you're playing U10 hockey and a U8 says hi to you. So as a parent, you have to realize that the U8 looks at a U10 like this is almost a man or much older, might be his hero. So kids around, you know, because I used to do this with my kids. It's like, say hi, be nice to him. He's younger. He looks up to you. What? Yeah, he looks up to you. Look at, he's a, remember this guy when he was older than you, he treated you good. Make sure you treat him well. Maybe include him. This, that, the other thing. So it's like, oh, lights go off. Like, and that now becomes a habit. When someone younger comes around and they're like bouncing around and they want to maybe play in the ball hockey game or play sewer with you or listen, or they just happen to be hanging around, all of a sudden you're saying, hey, you know, you want to play. You want to, you're include, like, it's just social. It's good. So, I mean, learning these things will help you later just to deal with normal people. So now when you do play in the OHL, college, pro hockey, if someone comes around, it's like you're not a nerd. You have nothing to say. You have the ability to make a kid feel or a parent feel like, ah, man, that was a nice interaction with that person. Good person.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to, same thing, I'm going to punch a couple things, like header things that you guys can take away as like a little more practical. So I'm going to give the example that I just gave about being the guy on the treadmill. So if it's that scenario, I got a young kid, I got a 7 or 8 year old young. They think I'm super old, right? I'm way bigger than them. It can be intimidating. It's their first time. They're doing something new. Like they're going on the treadmill. Like that can be intimidating on its own. But using that example, I kind of have like a bunch of things that you can punch as a more of a parenting style, but this could overlap with coaching as well. So first thing, just to help fix it, is just being an active listener is number one, where it's like, you're actually engaging with them, right? Like you listen and you ask a follow-up, right? It's not like, how's your day? Good? Good. And just move on. It's like, no, like dig, like get in there, right? Active listening is important. And while you're doing that, you're going to encourage them to be open and speak to you, right? Where you're not just like brushing them off. Obviously leading by example is huge. If you're the parent, like when you see someone in public, like you say hi. You know, you say hi, ask them to say hi. They see you do it, they can do it. That's an easy one, right? Asking open-ended questions where you're making them think about it. So this is, like I said, with school. It's like, how was school today? You can take that however you want. They're going to say good. They're not going to give you an answer, right? And then you can follow up. This is where the active listening comes
back.
Who's
the funniest kid in class?
Yeah.
Right. Who's the funniest kid in the room? Who's got the best shot?
Mm-hmm. Exactly that. Then you can provide constructive feedback. So the example of that for me is if I ask them and they say, how was school? And they say, I don't know. My constructive feedback is like, what kind of answer is that? Were you at school or not? Right? That's a form of feedback to them. It's like, you didn't answer my question, right? Answer the question. There's another skill as a parent, right? You can talk about them. This is where you talk about having energy in your responses, right? Like the emotion of the dialogue that they're having. It's like, Jesus, like, son, you answered me like you're a deflated balloon right now, you know? Like, give me a little zip. Like, have a little something, right? You can encourage those things. Doing, like, practicing, like, doing the role play. It's like, if the kids, I remember being young, like, going to talk to the coach, where you gave this example with Charlie, where it's like, you need to go talk to your coach. Like, I'll come with you and support you. We can practice what you're going to say, you know, those kinds of things. What's the question you're going to ask?
What's your important points?
Yeah, what do you want to tell them, right? You can practice that part of it. And then you kind of mentioned this in passing, is just kind of respecting their pace of like where they're at and trying to do it. So if you say, hey, say hello, and they just suck their thumb and don't say anything, and then finally you get them to say hello, it's like, good job. That's a win. You know, they didn't say a novel and have a full conversation, but like that's where they're at, and that's where they're going to be right now, and that's good. You know, give them the win when they get the win kind of thing. You know, so from a parenting side, I think those are some of the key ways that you can help support and help fix that. So hopefully that's something useful, because every time you give an example, you kind of have these things all layered in, which is interesting. So I just like kind of trying to pull them out a little bit. Maybe do you have anything else to say on that? Do we go to coaches a little bit?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I really do think it's important that parents, I mean, do what you want with your kid, but I think you do your coaches a favor if you give them a head start. You give your kids a favor. If you give them a head start too. And it's like, you know, one conversation I had the other day was one guy that's, I guess, about 17 was with, you know, has to do a couple of things with his coach. So they're together a little bit. And he goes, the guy doesn't speak, man. So the one coach asked, why don't you talk? He goes, well, what do I say? What do you mean? What do you say? He goes, well, he's older. It's like, well, that's wow. Say something, ask a question, man. Where do you work? Like, it's just common things. I just think parents need to drill that in their kids, unless you don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, like, right. I'm just saying that's what I've seen work.
Yeah, that's, and that's same all. For me. Like,
if you don't want to, that's fine. But anyways, you want to go coaches?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is like, you know, you said like it's coaches are, how do I say this? I think this is one of the beautiful things about being a coach, is that you get to influence. You get a chance to, this is what we talk about, you get to make a difference in people's lives. Hockey's hockey, right? Hockey's hockey. If you can actually make a difference in your kid, in the kids that you're coaching's lives, simple things like, you know, teaching them that I'm here to help you. Like, that's a good thing. Or not. But it's a good thing to be able to have the skill or to communicate that, you know, I'd like to, Eric, I'd like to speak more. Like, what do you think of this power play? What do you think of this kind of thing? It's a huge thing for coaches to be able to do. I think at the end of the day, kids appreciate it because you're building confidence. And I think it's huge. It's just huge. Go ahead. You got something.
Well, I want to kind of just, as a coach, like, I guess kind of the difference, it's the same as parenting, but there's just like some subtle differences because you don't have as much control of the kid because you're not the parent, you know? And I think the key from the team perspective as a coach is just creating the environment where that is what is expected.
Okay. So, right? You know, I think I lost my train of thought. So this is kind of standard practice. Like, what, remember I was talking about a philosophy of your team. One of my rules is that I want you to work hard and I want you to look me in the eye. That's just my rule. Some coaches don't care about that, but like for me, it goes a long way. And when I ask a question, I would like an answer. So you get on the ice or you're doing a chalk talk. Does everybody understand? And you don't get a yes or a no, yes coach, whatever. It's like, I will say, I need an answer. And for some groups, that might take 10, 20, 30 times, but it has to be ingrained. So all of a sudden that becomes a habit. The next phase is I need you to communicate on the ice. So you're doing drills and you don't, it's dead quiet. It's like, hey, whistle goes. Because it's important in hockey, to be honest with you. Like, it's not like something that I demand or certain coaches demand. If you watch an NHL game, you'll hear talking the whole time. If you watch a junior game, you'll hear talking all the time. It's a necessary thing for hockey. It's a necessary skill. So if we're in practice and we're not moving if we're moving the puck and we're not calling for it, most of the time stops. I need to hear you talk. And it's a pain in the ass. But kids, you need to understand it. So it's like you set the foundations no matter where you are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. So same thing. I'm going to say them quick because they kind of speak for themselves. But these are kind of some things I thought about with just coaching. And it's just, it lines up perfectly with what you're saying. So obviously you're creating that environment where that's the expectation. That's number one. The active feedback, stopping the drill and saying, hey, this is what we need to be doing. We're not doing it. That's one. Role modeling it as the coach. Again, same as with parents, like you got to be the example. Having meet, like individually addressing the kids, whether that's a meet through a player meeting or whatever, giving them the feedback on the individual level as well, not just as a team. Encouraging leadership roles, like especially if it's not the actual captains of the team. So if you're up to like a junior level, let's say, and there's younger kids that they have leadership qualities, but they're not the captains of the team yet. It's like reinforcing that, you know, encouraging that. And you can do that even on your AAA team. It's like, these guys are the leadership group, but you still should be a leader. Like, you're still a leader on this team, and like encouraging those things where they can have a voice. Like, I think that's a good thing. Communication exercises, whether that's a drill where that's the focus of the drill, you know, those are things you can do. And then recognizing the effort again, where it's like, if they do the thing, tell them they did it. It's like, good guys, that was better now. And those kinds of ways where now it's like, they feel like, okay, we're on the right track. We're doing what we're supposed to do. He's recognizing that we've done what he's asked as the coach or whatever. So those are just kind of some headers that fall in line with that example that you gave from the coaching side. Anything else for coaches? I just want to finish on a couple questions and then.
Yeah. Well, so the last thing with the coaches, I guess, last thing is that like if you're the coach, it's very important to me to be effective that you take the wall down of you're the older stern coach. Maybe in junior and stuff it's could be a little bit different, but I think it's important if you want to get the most out of your players to let them know that the door is open or the communication door is open. Like, that's number one. And that it's not just always my way is the way it's going to be. That's it. That's all. Because sometimes people learn in different manners and your way might be the way and they'll do it no matter what. But I do think it's important that kids can not question what you're doing, but understanding it better on a different level. So that if they are having a hard time, because there's nothing there, to me, there would be nothing worse than if I was coaching someone and they were just too scared to ask me why they're not on the power play or why they're not getting ice or why this, why that, or whatever. Like, I think it's very important for them to be able to say, okay, I'm gonna get the guts to ask coach, because I know he is intimidating. So I want to remove that. I'm intimidating to a certain degree, because I still have to have a certain amount of respect, but I need them to know that we can talk, right, about pretty much anything, right? So that's number one. And then when you do that, it's like, you know, you I think, again, as a coach, your job is to ask questions. So you can tell them what to do, but like, let's say it's, you know, it's not, whatever the question is, I don't understand the system. Okay, let's go in here. Do you understand now? And they say, yeah. Do they though? You know, you might get them to reiterate it, to say it again, whatever. But you have to recognize as a coach that, number one, nice balls on you, kid, for coming in to talk. Like honest to God, say, you know, reward them for that, saying, like, I'm glad you came in to talk. I hope it's better, you know, and welcome it again if they need to. I think that feedback, like, as you said before, when they do something well, reward them for it. Like, say, that's a good job. But you want to be able to make sure that they actually understand, they feel comfortable, like, oh, and that wasn't so bad. Actually, coach wants to help me, right? So, like, I think that message is can't be clear enough.
Yeah, perfect. I got a couple of just what I thought were some obvious questions that we could finish on. So you can just throw your thoughts on these quick. What are some practical ways to encourage kids to be interacting with adults, safely, obviously. But what are some, like, either just real life scenarios where you can kind of say, hey, like, here's an opportunity where you can practice this skill or whatever. Like, what are some things in just life? It doesn't have to just be hockey. It can be anything.
No, I just think the number one thing, the it's your daily interactions is, you know, how are you? Those foundational things are number one. I think really that's the number one thing. And then every now and then, you know, not every now and then, I think there's a point when you have family get-togethers, where you have where there's adult kids, like maybe it's a hockey team, you're on a roadie, and there's dinners and stuff like that. Like, it's, yes, the kids are going to sit with the kids and all that stuff, but I think there's a good time where there's a lot of times where it'd be good for kids to sit there. And,
yeah, the opportunity's there. Yeah.
Oh, you know, so how you can encourage this as well, though, is, again, if you're a dad, you know, like, if I'm with you, say we just met each other, right? Actually, let's do it this way. That is a great guy, one of my good buddies. And let's say good buddies of mine now. They've got two different fields of interest. One's a musician, like your dad. One's a financial advisor. So when I talked to my son, I said, yeah, me and Potsy watch games together all the time. Great guy. Talk about him. You know, he goes, oh, yeah, that's cool, because me and, you know, his son are buddies too, right? And Bushy. So yeah, Bushy's dad's like a sick guitar player, blah, 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 blah. Talk about them a little bit and tell, you know, really smart. I said, you know, Charlie, if you sign, you know, I would actually trust this guy to invest your money, because obviously his son is one of your best friends. You guys are buddies. That would be a good thing. Yeah. So then he's interested in Mr. Patra. So if and when so we actually were together this summer and they spoke. So I don't know if that conversation happens without me encouraging.
Yeah.
He knows a little bit about Mr.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if that happens. It might be just, hi, how are you?
Yeah. Okay. Well,
and then dad too, right? Like, it's like you're in music and like you can talk, there's a language you can speak.
Right. But this, sorry to cut you off, but this was exactly my next question, is like, how can parents help kids find common ground? And your answer, what I was going to point out was that, is it just that? Is it just, hey, be able to ask an adult a question? So that's helpful if you give them some background, but then it's like you go to Mr. let's say, and it's like, hey, my dad said that you're a musician. Like, what instruments do you play? Boom. Now we're talking. Or like, hey, my dad said that you're a financial advisor. Where do you work? Like, what do you do? What does that even mean? Or whatever, you know? So being able to ask the question, that kind of answers my next question.
So talk about intimidating. So at 15 years old, my son's living in Guelph, and for part of the year, George Burnett's driving him around. George and I laughed about it too. Eh? It's like, but so there you go. You've got a 60-year-old man, pretty gruff. He's your boss. He basically controls your future, picking you up and saying, how's it going? Like, that 10-minute drive to school could be an hour and a half, or it could be, that was a good experience, or I got to know some stuff. So obviously, like, the best a 15, 16-year-old kid could do is had a good conversation about, you know, like, so where do you start? Do you start with, right? Here's the thing. When you're intimidated, do you start with, I'm not going to talk to this guy because he intimidates me? Or where's a really good place to start? Well, he coached in the NHL. He's been in this league for 30-some years. He's got a wealth of knowledge. Where do we start? Well, how about, hey, what was it like? Like, something along the lines, like, what was it like coaching in the NHL, coach? Yeah.
Who's the best player you ever coached?
There you go.
Something.
Now, right? You're, that person's like, he might go, you know, there's a lot of guys or whatever, but you've showed interest in him. Right, but that's a good communication skill. So
yeah, I can go off. He might talk for the full 10 minutes.
100%.
If you ask a good question, right?
Which well, is interesting. The rule number one, right? How to win friends and influence people is, I forget, but but it's basically make other people feel important. That people, yeah, that's what it is. Is people want to talk about themselves? Their name is the most important name in the world. Meaning, if you can get someone to talk about themselves or their interests, then you're golden.
Yeah, for sure. So my last question, we can maybe wrap on this unless you have anything else after, is if you have a kid who's particularly shy. So I'm not talking about the kid who just is inexperienced, right? Like, so if the kid hasn't practiced and if we use baby Charlie as an example, he was never a shy kid. Like, he was always more of an outgoing kid among his peers, and that a little shy interacting with an adult, but we can get over that. But if you got a kid who's like, they're shy with their own kids, like they're shy with their own group, and then you're trying to get them to kind of do this interaction, what would your advice be about, like, about the shy kid? Like, how is,
well,
it,
I'm no,
is it anything
I'm
different?
No, I'm no doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You laugh at that.
Like, yeah, well, hey, okay, man.
It seemed like it wasn't shocking to you. I'm no doctor. But for me, like, I know that fear is real. Fear comes in a lot of different ways. And if you have fear, then you lack confidence. Doesn't mean in everything, in something. So, again, I'm no doctor, but when someone is shy, it's a fear. It's a lacking confidence in something. So, for me, that would be address the confidence. So, you don't throw them in front of 3,200 people and say, here, tell jokes.
Yeah.
Right? It's
so right. Extreme.
Well, it's got to be extreme, right? Like if it's not extreme, then
3,200.
Yeah, 3,200. Yeah, tell jokes. But that's what I mean. It starts with get that person to. Jordan Peterson talks about that, right? Someone scared of elevators, like the fear of elevators. He says you don't throw them on an elevator saying it's going to be fine. They shit themselves right there, right? It's like maybe you can get them to look at a picture of an elevator. And maybe the next step is to actually stand in front of an elevator. And maybe the next step is to get them to open the door. And like, it's like the elevator is not going to hurt you, right? Like, and understand those things.
You let them do it.
Yeah. Because the fear, the like, as we all know, what we fear, 80-90% of it never happens. And when it does, it's never even as bad as we thought it was going to be. But it's easy to say. But when someone has an actual fear, or like with shyness, I assume is a fear, then it's baby steps. So, you know, and believe it or not, when I was a kid, I was outgoing in some spots, but I was mostly a shy kid. Lacked a lot of confidence in a lot of things. It's hard to believe that now. Eh? But you know, it's helping your kids not face fears, but like just stretch them a little bit, you know, and it might take 5 years, but 5 years is better than never.
Yeah, and this is
Mike
why
done,
this is why
right?
It's so huge.
It's that low hanging fruit again. It's just like
I was just gonna say, like, this is why you talked about this before. It's like, this is why it's so important that you can have the conversations with your kid, because you always give the example when you play catch with
raise my kid playing catch.
Yeah, right. It's like you break them down, and now they're feeling open to chatting, right? Just because of the environment. So it's like, if you have a kid that's super shy, it's try to understand. Again, I'm no doctor either, but maybe try to understand, like, where the fear comes from. You know, if the kid's really, really, really shy, like painfully shy, like they talk to you, like you're their parent. It's like, maybe you can, when the time is right, you get them in the right environment. It's like, so what's the deal? Like, what are you worried about? What do you think is going to happen? Like, and you can start to like address those things, you know? And then it's like, okay, so it's not talking to people. It's like, you're scared you're going to say the wrong thing or whatever. It's like, okay, maybe we can practice that. Maybe practice on Uncle Danny. Practice on whoever, right? do something where you can try to, and maybe they'd be more open to that if you get them at the right time where they're feeling like they can be vulnerable and talk to you about whatever their problem is, you know? Because I get that all the time where it's like kids come on and they're so shy and it's like, I don't know, like you just are unprepared to be here. Like your parents have not prepared you to be here, right? Which is okay. Some parents don't know what to do. But now that you're here, I'll take that role. I'll just be like, okay, like why are you shy? What's the hold up here? You know, why are you scared of this? Why? And it comes back to that same thing you're talking about, fear, you know, just addressing it from that angle. So that's all I had for today. Is there anything else you want to touch on?
So just strictly as a hockey player. So I'll go back to this. So I'm going to stick it. My wrap up right now is going to just be for the player, why you have to communicate. And I'm going to start. I just thought about this because my wife and I, believe it or not, were talking about this last night. And then I'll take it to the hockey player. You have to learn how to communicate. When you don't communicate, absence of information will give people certain conclusions, right? There was a time in my life, I'm going to say this is about probably 13 to 15 years ago, where I had a business problem, okay? And the way I grew up, because I don't want to go into it a lot, but I used to feel like I had to take care of people. Like my kid, my brothers, my mom, like all these different things. So when you learn that behavior, right or wrong, that carries you forward through life. So anytime I've had problems, when it involved anybody else, so now I'm married and I have kids, I have problems or issues, whatever you want to call it, at the business, I didn't communicate that to my wife. How's things? Good, good, good. Till it became the monster. So the monster comes, and now she looks at me and she goes, what? Are you hiding this? Are you hiding? Like, that's what it looked like. I was hiding. So I was being defensive, but I was being very honest. I said, no. I just didn't want you to worry. I'll deal with it. And it's like, what happened? I hurt my wife because she, absence of information, right? Didn't communicate. So she's looking at me like, can I even trust you anymore? Right? I'm giving away my marital status. No, no, all good. These are good problems because I learned from it. I learned from it because I hurt my wife big time because I didn't, she like, and think about it, right? If I don't tell her what's going on in real life, what does that mean? You don't trust me? You don't think I could handle it? All those different things. So I learned from that. We were just talking about it last night. I said, we're getting better, right? She goes, yeah, it's like so much better because if I don't know, I assume bad things. 100%. So now when I feel like I don't want to talk about this, it's the first thing I do. So I tell my wife, she's got big shoulders, and I don't mean that physically. Hey, hon, if you're listening, I don't mean like you're huge. I mean, no, but she's a tough broad. She's tough.
Yeah.
She's tough. And she's smart. And she's, and what I found, and this takes work, is that she's an ally. So instead of me figuring everything out, I can use her brain and her emotions and her thought process and a different set of eyes to handle situations. So now, so from being stupid and not communicating, now by communicating, I can solve problems better and I feel good. Like, it's like, okay, you know what? I'm in one here. This is why I'm going to be like this, or this is going really well. And it's like, she gave me ideas. So that's that. From a hockey player standpoint, I would use that same scenario. If you do not communicate, it's tough. Now, I'm not saying that you need to walk in the room and, you know, plug the battery in and chatter all day. That's not what I'm talking about. But you have to do the essential. You have to be able to communicate, not how you're feeling, like in a weird way, but what's important at the time. So you have to be able to communicate on the ice. If you're a winger, you're a centerman, and your winger is never going to the net the way you were supposed to. Do you sit there and just like a stump, or do you say, dude, Eric, you need to be going to the net, man? That's the, you know, and find the right way to do it. But this is why the communication skills are important. When a coach, if you have an issue with the coach or a real problem, if you don't say anything, he thinks everything's fine, or he thinks you're an idiot, right? So rather than him thinking an idiot, that you're an idiot, a lot of times if you open your mouth, then it'll prove the point. But if you ask questions, or if you get to the, you know, humble yourself, that's what I would say. Say, coach, I'm not getting this. Can you help me with it? It shows that you care. If you don't communicate, it might show that you don't. So absence of information will give you a different conclusion. And then I think what's also very important for anybody that feels like they want to get to a higher level. At some point, the interview process, or that I'll call it the interview, or the first meeting with a coach, a team, or whatever, to recruitment, is if you don't know how to put a sentence together, describe yourself, describe your play, what you want out of life, and not be shy to say, no, I want to play here, or whatever. You know, if someone says, would you do this? I mean, so I worked real hard. That's not an answer. If you say, well, I worked real hard because I skated 4 days a week with this coach. He was a skills coach. I worked really hard with him. After that, we did 4 days a week. I worked out at this gym, did this, this, and this, and this, and this. And then on the side, I also had, I don't know, whatever, a nutritionist.
Yeah, XYZ, whatever.
Yeah, a nutritionist. And you actually laid it out for them. They could say, okay, that's well thought of. They might even say, because the next question, if you're dealing with good people, oh, how did the nutritionist work for you? Oh, you have to be able to talk to it, because now you're impressing them. If you just say, yeah, I worked hard, that's not an answer, man. It's not one that I want on my team. So it's like, if you're just that good, maybe it doesn't matter. But most people aren't just that good. So you have to be able to stick out like a sore thumb in a good way. And if you, like I said, you don't have to have all the energy in the world. You might speak in monotone, whatever, but you need to have information or be able to communicate at least a little bit. And so I would suggest any kid that's getting around 14, 15, no, around the age, if you're a Canadian kid that wants to play in the OHL and you're fairly highly rated for the draft, you should be able to practice doing interviews so that you get hard questions asked and you have answers. Learn what actually sometimes you have to bullshit a little bit and hear what people want to say what people want to hear. And then if obviously if you're going to college and stuff like that, you should get that interview process. Just learn how to answer tough questions.
Yeah.
You know, so that's go ahead.
No, that's good. A little plug for you is if you guys want to practice that, we do that. So that's something we've done with members too, right?
Oh yeah. You'd be about as comfortable as a fart in church. It's hardest interview you're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Like, amazing. You got really smart kids sit across, and I go, you know, I'll ask questions. The simplest question, and they're like, I don't know. Like, who do you play? Like, Connor McDavid. Yeah. Okay, well, why? I don't know. Well, don't say it then. Yeah. So that's why you need to say things out loud and do things that are uncomfortable. And then, guys, I promise you this, and I understand, like, not everybody is at the same level of communicating, but the more that you try and the more that you practice, the better you're going to get. And whenever you're in doubt about something, just ask a question. You know, so if you ask me, hey Andy, how's your day? I go, good. How was yours? Right?
Yeah.
Flip it. Yep. Keep you talking. So
for sure.
Anyways,
very good. Very good. I'm happy with that. That went well. So that's all for today. Same thing as I always say. Thank you for all of our members who support us. If you want to do that, if you're consistently listening and thinking about it, then it would be great because we can branch out and do more stuff and hopefully come and see you guys in person, which is what we would love to do. So links are up there in the description of the video, and we'll leave it there for next week. Goodbye.